Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show once again this fine, chilly, brisk fall Saturday morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm the coach, Keith Howard, and I'm going to be your host for the next 30 fast minutes. And you know what? Let me dive right into that 30 minutes for one moment. Starting in 2017, this show is going to 1 hour. 1 hour in 2017, so the only people that I could ever thank for that are each and every one of you who listen in every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock when we extended from 10 to 11 starting January 2017. I am so excited about that news. So, hey, got a great show today. We'll try and squeeze in some calls because we got callers. So we'll try and squeeze in some calls. And, you know, we were hopeful for to talk a little basketball today, but I can tell you, basketball coaches on a Saturday, able to talk for 15 minutes, that's a tough find. But we're really trying to track down some college coaches, some high school coaches. Who knew that Paul VI, right over here in Northern Virginia, had the number one women's high school basketball team in the country? So we've been talking to their coach. So hopefully we'll get them on real soon. But you know what? We still got to press forward. We can always chat football. So since we're going to always chat football, why don't we get right into our PATs, our pay attention topic. Always can talk football, always can talk. This is the best time of the year. This next 45 days with conference championships, rivalry weekends, college football playoffs, bowl season, NFL playoffs, NFL Super Bowl. I mean, we just had the great stuff just last week. I mean, it's so much football going on, it doesn't get any better than this. But one place where it's settled on the field is in college football. And last week, Michigan played their way right out of the college football playoffs. That's right. Old Khaki Pants was a little upset after the game. But at the end of the day, and that's why I tell all my players, every inch, every second of the game matters. Every inch and every second of the game matters. And so Michigan, in my opinion, they're out. There's no way they can get in unless today Clemson going up against a Vatek team who's pretty talented. Clemson has one loss. So, you know, if Clemson were to lose today in the ACC championship, that gets them to two losses. Maybe they do slide back to five and Michigan slides in. I don't know. Unless the Badgers now, if Wisconsin wins in the Big Ten Championship tonight versus Penn State, well, then we got a little bit of an issue. But let me jump back to Clemson for 1 second. Vatek's got dudes. I mean, they got dudes on offense. Let me tell you, they got three receivers that all go to the NFL. So, you know, this is not just a cakewalk for Clemson, but I honestly think Pitt beating Clemson woke Clemson up. I mean, they destroyed South Carolina last week. Deshaun Watson, everybody knows he's going to the NFL. This team is loaded. Gallimore running back. They're loaded with NFL talent. So I think Clemson wins that game. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think Virginia Tech's going to play them hard. Now, back to the Big Ten. I think that Penn State can beat Wisconsin. And here's what will happen. Now, if Penn State wins and Clemson loses, I think you got to make an argument for Penn State. I mean, hey, they beat Wisconsin, who's ranked in the top 10. They've won their conference, which is the Big Ten Conference, which has, what, four or five teams in the top 10 nationally? I think you got to put them in there. So I think what Penn State's going to really need, they need to root for Virginia Tech. They need to settle in on the field and go out there and beat Wisconsin. And so Coach Franklin, a guy who was fighting for his job, I mean, literally was coaching for his job, and I know what that feels like, down to now a Big Ten championship win. Pretty interesting story. I think, in my opinion, though, here are the four best teams. Four best teams are easy. Washington proved last night, again, settled it on the field. They blew out the Colorado Buffaloes, and they won the Pac-12. So they are in. I don't want to hear anything else. They're in. Now, I have number three, OHIO, Ohio State. Here's why. They beat Michigan. Now, call it what you want. It was closed. It was a controversial call, this, that, and the other. They settled it on the field. They won the game. Did they win their conference championship? No. No, they didn't. But they've got one loss. You look at that talent that they have. And, oh, by the way, they are the youngest team in college football. I read that stat during the week this week. So they're going to be loaded for a while. Here's who I got at number two. Believe it or not, even with their one loss to Pitt, hail to Pitt, even with that one loss, I think if Clemson rolls over Virginia Tech tonight, not only will they win the ACC, but I think they're the second best team. I do. I just think that Deshaun Watson, Gallimore, Williams at receiver, they got a lot of pro players on that football team. They're the closest thing to a pro team except for number one. Roll Tide. Let me tell you something, Florida. I'm glad you're going to show up for the game. That's nice and everything. This Alabama team could be, watch this, the greatest college football team of all time. When you look at statistics, margin of victory, when you look at, especially against ranked opponents, when you look at the number of pros that they're going to put out to the NFL, which, by the way, they put a ton of them out last year, this team arguably, I think the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers statistically was the best college football team ever. This team has a chance to beat that. So, you know, I've been saying it for weeks now. I'll say it again. Roll Tide. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I'll tell you this. I got to tell you about, we want to give the youth football a time to shine. Now, we've had the Grassroots Youth Football League on before, led by former Maryland Terrapin coach Mike Anderson. And Coach Anderson is basically putting the DMV football scope on his back. He has assembled 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who, quite honestly, their high school is already paid for. It's already paid for. And their college looks like that's going to be paid for as well, because they are on a roll down in Fort Mill, South Carolina. He took his team down, and they had a big tournament down there. And yesterday it was all over social media how well they were doing. No one expected them to go down and just roll over national teams in youth football. I had the chance to go out to University of Maryland a couple weeks ago and do some recruiting and just check out some of these players. These guys are in the 8th grade, but they look like they could play high school varsity football right now. So it's going to be a delight, and I want them to get some shine. It's great for that organization to be able to get some recruiting shine. So we're going to hit the Chuck music here. We'll be right back with Coach Mike and his Grassroots Youth Football League. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chuck Brown talking about needing money. And I can tell you right now, the kids for the grassroots football, youth football league, they're getting money. They're getting money and they're getting tuitions paid. And any high school coach out there with half a brain who wants to turn around a winning team, turn around a losing program into a winning one, should be all over these kids. They are doing an outstanding job. Let me welcome to the show Coach Mike Anderson. Coach Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir. And thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I always love coming on your show, Keith.
Hey, man, you're a triple threat. This is the third time we've had you on, and every time it's been good. We had you on with a series of conversations around recruiting, and then we had you on with a series of conversations around concussion, and both of those were highly rated shows for us, so thank you for that. But now we're on here to talk about winning, and you're down there in Rock Hill, South Carolina, a place I've been. You're at Bob Jones Stadium. I've met Bob Jones. I got to tell you a story about him off the air, but Coach Mike, what in the world happened yesterday? You guys were blowing teams out yesterday. What? Tell the listening audience what in the world happened down there yesterday.
Oh my goodness, Keith, man, we, you know, this is a phenomenal tournament. This is the Football University National Championship Tournament, and it was created by the owners of the U.S. Army All-American Games to try to find the next group of elite middle school players, and so. You know, 64 teams from all over the country put together 6th, 7th, and 8th grade teams. And I'm the only team director, actually, that's responsible for two regions. So we have Team Maryland that also covers D.C. and some parts of Northern Virginia. And we have Team Maryland Metro for the first year that's launched. So we're excited about that. And, you know, we opened up against Team North New Jersey. And there's some tremendous players up there, Keith. Some outstanding players, man, but, you know, they don't have the spring grassroots league that we have, the All-Star League. They don't do the year-round. And when I say year-round football, I'm not talking about playing and hitting year-round. We're talking about a year-round focus, you know, where we're training in January through March. We're doing combines. We're doing spring ball. I mean, we're just – these kids are locked in. They're focused. And, I mean, we literally have – And I know this may – people are going to think this is an exaggeration, but when you see this team play, out of the 40 kids on the team, I got 22 to 23 major D1 prospects on this team. And so it was just really – it's just a very, very, very talented team, man, and other areas aren't able to pull the concentration of talent together. They have it. I believe they have that same kind of talent up in New Jersey. But they just weren't able to pull all of the kids together. So our 6th grade team and our 7th grade team and our 8th grade team, it was pretty rough yesterday.
Well, I can support you on that. I saw it bird's eye view up at the University of Maryland. Just the fact that Maryland gave you the entire stadium to let these kids practice told me something about recruiting. Because when we were at the University of Pittsburgh, we used to do the same thing. We just give the stadium, and the kids come in and they see it, and it inspires them to do well. Now tell me this: How do you do all this? Go ahead.
Let me correct you. I wish we could. I wish they could give us the stadium. That stadium was $750 that I still don't have the money to pay the invoice yet. So I've been going on Facebook and begging for alums and stuff, you know what I mean, to try to help. We're going to find it. You know, God's going to make a way. But, you know, I haven't been able to pay that invoice yet. But I don't – whatever I have to do to get these kids college exposure, you know, that's what we're going to do. So, we did have our 8th graders practice at Maryland. And we do a lot of stuff at Maryland. We do our banquets there. We do our award ceremonies, you know, mentoring, tutoring, just to get them exposed and excited about that. So how do we do it financial-wise? Man, we just do a lot of begging. We got a little support. We appreciate everything we get from Under Armour, you know, from a product standpoint. So we're able to put the nice pants on the kids. They support us. But, you know, financially, it's rough, bro. I'm in a hotel room. I slept on the floor in a hotel room with four kids the other night. This is what we do, Keith.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know what? We got to work together offline because I'd love to help you try and get some funds raised into there because it's a great, great organization. And like you said, the end result is these young men, they're getting, you know, high school and college tuitions paid. I mean, that it doesn't get any better than that. Now, tell me about this logistically. I mean, I've moved football teams all over the country, but you have to move three or four teams, you know, across state lines on a Friday, on a Thursday. How did you do all that?
It was a nightmare, Keith.
you should have called me. I could give you some tips. You should have called me.
I need so much help. Like, we probably do need to get together offline, because what I do well, but there's a lot of things that I do not do well. One day we will get to the point where we'll have funding and sponsorship where we can get three buses or four buses, but, you know, the buses cost $6,000, so we couldn't afford it. So we just had every parent that could drive down, they drove their kids down, they carpooled. We had about 18 kids whose, you know, parents couldn't get off work, and we rented here's what was crazy. So Thursday we rent two passenger vans. Chris Simmons from Liberty Construction, man, is just an amazing. He's one of our coaches, and, you know, he rented these vans for us. It's supposed to be 15 passenger vans. So we like, okay, with the 18 kids and all of the bags, we should be good to go, right? So we get up there to pick the vans up. Well, he supplied us with sodas and snacks, and put a cooler in the back of each van, but that took away four seats. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Now, you know, down less seats. We pull up to the equestrian center to pick these kids up and all their bags with two vans, and there's no way on God's green earth we were going to get them in the van. So we had to go find, get another van, and, you know, so we each one of us drove. So, man, we didn't drive. We spread out in hotels. We got four to a room. You know, kids sleeping on floors, and man, we're getting it done, but it's not easy.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's working. All the great stories, you know, I think about Friendship Collegiate, who put so many kids in D1 programs, and they don't even have a home field. Now I'm hearing your story. You know, that's so disappointing to hear. But end result is you're still winning. Now, tell me about some of this talent. You told me that you had the best quarterback in the state of Maryland. Now, tell me about that young man.
The best one doesn't even play on this team, but I got two teams.
Goodness gracious.
So much talent in DV. I mean, I think throughout the course of the fall season, a young man named Caleb Williams from the Bowie Elite distinguished himself as being the best quarterback in our league. I don't think there's any question about that. But we had some really, really good quarterbacks. I mean, we had so many. I dubbed my fall league, I call it the League of Extraordinary Quarterbacks. And we spread them out over different teams. Caleb coached the Bowie Elite. A kid named Austin Tudis from Hartford County coached them. That played at quarterback the Maryland Heat. Caleb was the QB for the Bowie Elite. Tudis was the Maryland Heat quarterback. His backup, Derek Dunn, is 6 feet and 175 pounds, you know what I mean, and actually distinguished himself as a super quarterback. Kid John Griffith was my shutdown academy quarterback. He was tremendous. Trace Campbell for the DMV Academy. So all of those kids were, like, competing for the fall to determine, in our minds, who was going to be the FBU team Maryland quarterback. And, you know, a lot of stuff happened, man. It's trying to get these kids used to competing with each other. It's not easy sometimes when they've been a man on their own teams. But at the end of the day, you know, Derek Dunn actually evolved to be the team Maryland starting quarterback. Man, he's a phenomenal dual threat. He can run and he can throw. And Caleb Williams is the starting quarterback for Metro Maryland, the other Maryland team that's outstanding. John Griffith is his backup. I mean, these kids. I mean, it's a lot of talent, and we're doing a better job.
Coach, I hear you rattling off these names, and you know, way back in the day, I had an opportunity to scout at a high level. I missed that opportunity, but the ability is still there. And one of the things that was taught to me, and now I'm able to put into place, is there are certain benchmarks where you know an NFL player early,
yes,
like very early, like at these kids' age. And one of those benchmarks is that they get their high school tuition paid, and they're playing in an elite, and I mean elite, like the WCAC. They're playing in an elite conference nationally. If they do that in their ninth and tenth grade year, the chances of them going to the NFL are really increased. And then there's another benchmark, which is if they get their college tuition paid and they don't redshirt and they go right in and play, their chances of going to the NFL are even higher if they're in a league like ACC, SEC. So these names you're rattling off, these names are future NFL players in my book. And it's amazing to me. I just don't think that our listening audience or any of us has an appreciation for what you are single-handedly doing in our community, because that could change the landscape of our entire community. Because those guys are going to come back home. They're going to live here. They're going to build businesses here and that. It's an amazing story. Tell me this now. Tell me about the opponent. I mean, you've got Northern New Jersey, which I didn't know was a hotbed for football. I'm sure you've got some South Carolina teams. I mean, who are you guys playing down there, and how does that all work? How do you get the opponent?
In this bracket, it's broken up just like the NCAA March Madness bracket, four regions. So you got the East, you got the South region, you got West, and you got the Midwest. So we're from the East region. So and the East region is broken up into two brackets. So it's 16 times four. That's how you get to 64. So 16 regional teams from the East, 16 from the South, 16 from the Midwest, 16 from the West. So we're part of that Eastern region. And that's broken up into eight, so two different. There's a regional going on in Rhode Island right now that has eight teams. There's New York, that's Rhode Island, that's Connecticut, Massachusetts, all up in the northeast part. And then we represent the Mid-Atlantic region. So here we have Team Maryland. I told you they gave us the second Maryland. So we have Team Maryland Metro. We have Charlotte is here. South Carolina is here. Northern Virginia is here. That's also a part of the DMV. So we got the DMV represented three times. Indiana is here. Who else is here, guys?
Would you say Northern Virginia is your arch rival? Like, is that the one that you really, really want to beat them because right over the river, or you don't care whoever lines up, you'll win the game?
Georgia is our arch rival. You know, we historically, you know, come out of this round and made it to the Final Four, and we in seventh grade in 2012 we beat Georgia and we beat Northeast Louisiana in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio and won our first and only national championship for Team Maryland. But we have sent six teams to the Final Four over the last 4 years, and you know, we've come up short to Georgia and South Florida, and like those are our rivals now. The local regional stuff is getting much better because FBU has really entrusted us. So they've allowed us to fill the Northern Virginia team. So Grassroots, you know, Grassroots covers the whole DMV. So the Northern Virginia team now is made up of a bunch of Grassroots kids. Team Metro Maryland is made up of a bunch of Grassroots kids and other leagues as well. And obviously Maryland is made up of Grassroots. So it's like we got internal challenges playing against each other, against our guys, but it's great for us to do that. We got to play. Maryland has to play Maryland tonight at 4 o'clock. We got to play against our brothers tonight at 4 o'clock. It's crazy.
Wow, that is crazy. So we got about 2 minutes left. Tell me this. Now, you talked about the year-round football, and you specifically said, hey, we're not out there hitting year-round. But from a fitness standpoint, from a training standpoint, you know, do your guys lift? Are they being trained? Do they have personal trainers? Like, how do you keep them fit? Because I saw them, and you know, the first thing I look for in the players, I look at that calf muscle to see how big it is, and if it has a split down the middle. If it does, then I know he's working out. So your kids had that. What are you doing as far as physical fitness? You know, in the off time.
Man, we started out. And we're bringing it back this year because we realized we needed. The first 3 years of Grassroots, we did conditioning clinics in January, February, and March. Did them in high schools where it's just, we're not lifting weights with them yet, but a lot of push-ups, a lot of agility work, ladder work, separator sprints, just to get them in great physical condition. The last couple of years, we stepped back from doing it in-house and partnered with a number of training companies and stuff, you know what I mean, to allow them to do it. It's worked okay. One of the best ones, that's one of our strategic partners, Elite Star Performance, that's Mark McCain. They do a great job. Yeah, there's some other great trainers out there too, don't get me wrong, but we're getting back into Grassroots conditioning clinic this winter, as a matter of fact, because You know, there's a certain way that we want our kids to be able to work, and we want to spread that out, you know, all over the DMV. So yeah, we train them January, February, and March to prepare them for our grassroots combines in March. We do it the same way the NFL does it, the same way we did it in college. We trained in January, February, and March, so we got ready for spring ball. We had our testing day, and we went and played spring ball. So Greg, I've just implemented that and brought it down to the middle school level.
Well, that coach, that's good to know. And I'm going to follow up with you on that because I know another great company that can help you, especially from a speed performance standpoint. So I'll definitely follow up with you on that. Hey, listen, man, outstanding job. You have single-handedly put the DMV football scope on your shoulders, and you're winning. You're winning. So I'm going to be checking social media today to see what these scores are, these games. And please have a safe trip back. Stay in touch with us. And how can people find out more about your organization?
The website is www.thegyfl.com. That's thegyfl.com. And the only thing I would take issue with, Keith, is by no means on earth have I single-handedly done this. If you had any idea, and I know what you're giving, and I appreciate the credit, you know, Grassroots is doing it, but like Grassroots is a group of dedicated, mostly volunteers. I'm the only one that, you know, at this point, you know, that's able to make any type of salary when I can make it. So it's a bunch of dedicated volunteers, man, and parents and just great kids that have bought into our vision. I got three of them with me right now. I know I talked so much I didn't get a chance to have you interview them, but they've been listening to you. They're excited about you. And I got three major Division I prospects right here that have a real chance to play on Sundays one day.
Well, Coach, let me tell you this. You know, winning is being humble, and that's what you're eating right now, humble pie. So usually I take the last 2 minutes to talk about my stuff. But I'm going to be humble right now. If you want to grab one of those guys, I got 3 minutes. I can ask them two quick questions. If you want to grab one of them, I have no problem. I'd much rather do that.
All right, let me get
you got them nearby?
I'm going to go by seniority. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go by seniority right here. So I'm going to go with the kid that's been with me since he's in the fifth grade, one of the highest rated eighth graders in the United States of America. He's on every college coach's radar screen already and has been since he's in the seventh grade. His name is Antoine Littleton. He's a 6 foot, 245 pound running back that will remind you of Jerome Bettis. He's a great kid, but just a phenomenal football player. This is Antoine. Antoine, this is Coach Keith Howard.
How you doing, Coach Keith?
How you doing, Antoine? So, Antoine, we got about 60 seconds. You're on live radio here. Here's all I want to know about you. What do your grades look like? That's what I want to know.
Okay. I hold a 3.3 GPA.
That's good stuff, man. I love hearing that. Where are you going to high school?
Right now, I haven't made my decision, but I'm looking towards St. John's or the Mavericks.
Okay, both great schools. And who's going to win your game today?
Well, we're looking forward towards the quarterback. The quarterback has to make sure everything is right, mostly the team leader. So we go based off of him.
Good stuff, man. Hey, I'm going to have you on the show for a full-blown interview down the road. You guys win your game today. Tell Coach I said goodbye, and we'll talk soon. Take care.
Hey, Coach Keith, remember these two names, Kenwan Manuel and Tarjay Johnson, bro. Remember those.
Take care.
Thank you,
buddy.
Take care.
Hey, that is what live radio is all about. Get those youngins some shine. It's good stuff. Hey, the extra point is up, and it is always good.